given me comes from you, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Well, as the bell choir is coming back up, just wanted to briefly state, you know, that song we just played, when we first started that song, almost all of us felt like this is impossible to do. I mean, it's not like we were, skilled in a master's degree in bell choir. But you know, the more we practiced it, the more we enjoyed the song, and the more we liked what we were doing. And so they've worked very, very hard. And I know I had a couple oopses there. You know what we need to learn as a bell choir? And Laura tells us all the time, when you ring the wrong bell, don't go. Which I tend to do. So, you know, oops, that wasn't the right note, apparently. But anyway, we love what we're doing, and we're trying to make a joyful noise unto the Lord as we do this each and every time we come before you. And that's our desire. And it may not be perfect, but it's done with love. So that's what we want to do.
Thank you.
Thank you all. That was fun. As we began just a couple weeks ago, kind of a series on the fruit of the Spirit, started out with kind of a preliminary to that, which was in order to produce fruit, the Spirit, we need to abide in Christ. And that's what we did a couple weeks ago. And then we talked about love being the first of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, 22. And today I wanted to talk about joy. In our world today, a lot of times the word happiness and joy are used synonymously. I think in the context I'm going to talk about this morning, I don't think they're quite synonymous. They're close, but not quite. But how many of you remember a song from way, way back? I think it was 1988. Don't worry, be happy. Yeah, I forgot the words to the song, so I looked them up, and here was the words. I remember singing that song way back, and, you know, it's kind of a cute little song, but here, I'm just going to read the words to the song to you by, I can't remember what the guy's name was, Barry or something, Fairman, I don't know, Bobby, there you go, anyway, here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry. Yeah. In every life we have some trouble, but don't you worry, you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. And then there's the chorus, don't worry, be happy, several times. Second verse. Ain't got no place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. Don't worry, be happy. The landlord say you rent is late. He may have to litigate. Don't worry, be happy. He says, look at me, I'm happy. And then the chorus again. And in the chorus, he says, hey, I'll give you my phone number. When you worry, call me. I'll make you happy. And then verse 3. Ain't got no cash, ain't got no style, ain't got no gal to make me smile. You don't worry, be happy. Because when you worry, your face will frown, and that will bring everybody down. So don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. And then there's the bridge and the chorus, and here's the end. Now there is the song I wrote. I hope you learned it note for note. Like good little children, don't worry, be happy. Now listen to what I said. In your life, expect some trouble. Don't you worry. You make it double. But don't worry. Be happy. Be happy now. A lot of good stuff in that song. It's not deep theological words there. But one thing I think that is missing in that song is, how can I move from a life of concern and anxiety and worry and misery and despair to a life that can be, and I would rather use the word this morning because I'm going to differentiate, joy, a life of joy. How do I get there? The missing piece is how do I get there? Because you see, in my understanding, as I read Scripture, and as I look at the way we define these words in today's world and how joy is really contextualized in Scripture, the difference between happiness and joy is this. Happiness depends on what happens. Think about that again for a moment. Happiness depends on what happens. If good things happen, then happiness will happen. And if bad things happen, then oftentimes happiness doesn't happen. We associate happiness with something that has happened that affects me in that positive kind of way. Joy in the Word of God is not reliant upon circumstances. And a prime example of that is when you go to a text where if anyone shouldn't be happy or joy-filled, it would be Paul in prison when he's writing this note or this letter to the church in Philippi. And here's what he says. Let me start with verse 15. It's true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am here for the defense of the gospel, that is in prison. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing they can stir up trouble for me while I'm here, while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice He goes on to say that while he's in prison there, he says that makes this comment. He says, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." When you look at the context of that verse right there, you see someone who can live in joy no matter what the circumstances are. You know, be happy that things are happening in my life, but I can live in joy despite what the circumstances are, because you see, joy, the way the world sees it, joy sees it more as happiness. Whatever happens affects me, and in Christ, it doesn't have to. We let it. Because sometimes that joy you and I have in Christ gets hidden down in there somewhere. It gets pushed aside somehow. It is affected by the circumstances because we forgot the joy that we have in Jesus Christ. And I want to talk about that a little bit this morning in light of the text. Here was Jesus, who was nearing the end of his life, and he's talking to his disciples. He's praying for his disciples when he talks to God, and he's talking about all these things that are going on in the world, and he wants his disciples to be equipped to do whatever it is they need to do after he leaves. And he says in the latter part of this prayer, as he's praying for his disciples, he says, "I'm coming to you now, but I see these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them." They're going to have to go through hell. He went through hell. But yet, the joy that they could have was not dependent upon them. It was dependent upon Him. And He says, again, in those words, He says, that they may have the full measure of my joy, God's joy, that they may have the full measure of my joy. That's the difference between what you and I try to manufacture ourselves in life with things that we accumulate, good health reports that come from the doctor, a bonus in pay from the place that I work, and all these things that make me happy. But can they really give me the joy unspeakable that's spoken of in Scripture? You see, happiness comes and goes, but joy is a lifelong friend. I want us to get this morning. The fruit of the Spirit, which is joy, how you have the fruit of that Spirit, which is joy, is you abide in Christ. And if we abide in Christ, no one and nothing can take it from you. Romans chapter 8 says that. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. So everyone can experience happiness at times in their life, but few experience real joy as defined in Scripture. Few really experience that. Believers in Christ can experience that. Lifelong experience of that. Paul, in prison for his faith, and yet, I rejoice. I rejoice. Even though they put him there because of his faith. They put him there because of what was going on. And yet he says, I rejoice. Whether I have lots or whether I have little, I still am satisfied. You see, he had joy. He had joy. And this joy is something that's given to us as a fruit of the Spirit as we abide in Christ. A statement made by Billy Sunday once kind of hit me. And it says this: if you have no joy in your religion, there's a leak in your Christianity somewhere. I like it. Billy Sunday said that. If you have no joy in your religion, there's a leak in your Christianity somewhere. Joy comes from Him. Joy doesn't come from ourselves. We can try and try and try and try, but we will not experience joy. Happiness, perhaps. But the joy unspeakable is not experienced unless it's coming from Him. And it comes from Him as a fruit of the Spirit as we abide in Christ. There's a lot of things that can make me happy. But there's only one thing that can give you joy. What is that? Jesus Christ. There is only one that can give you joy unspeakable. It is Jesus Christ. And He said it to His disciples. I want them to have my joy. have the full measure of my joy within them. That is what he wanted for you and for me. It's the full measure of his joy. I can honestly say there have been times in my life when there's been not so good things that are happening. And discouragement, frustration. But I can say on many occasions, not always, because I'm not always living by the Spirit, that I can honestly say even in some of those desperate, yucky times, I still have joy. Because I still know beyond any shadow of a doubt. That's why I think those signs we have out there all over the place are perfect. Because it tells me, no matter where I'm at, in my state of being at this time, that God's got it. So I'm okay. You know, when I meet with people who are in desperate situations, whether they're dying or whether they've come from a broken relationship or there's just desperate situations going on there. You know, and I'm honest with them. I can't give you a magic pill right now that's going to make everything good and nice and all that sort of stuff. But I can say with confidence to anyone that if you put your faith and trust in Christ through whatever's going on there, that He'll walk you through it. That He'll take you through it. And that you will at some point experience joy. Oh, not right now. Because right now, the tragedy, the thing is way too raw. It's way too big to even... That's probably not what you say at a time like that. But at some point in time, you can experience joy. Because that joy is already in there. It's just the distractions of life have pushed it down, pushed it aside. And it's in there. In Christ, it's in there. We just have to trust God that He'll take us through whatever it is that's going on in our life, and He'll get us there. Jesus knew what He was going to go through when He prayed this prayer. He hadn't gone through it yet. He knew what He was going to go through, and yet He's talking about joy. I want to connect joy and love here. As the fruit of the Spirit, both of these slices are necessary. They complement each other. Can you have joy without love? I don't think so. I don't think you can have joy without love. Because I think joy, inherent in joy, is love. The joy we're talking about here is absolutely the case. Because the joy is that Jesus took care of it on the cross. That Jesus is the one that's handling what I cannot handle. I'm thankful for that. Because I'll tell you what, when I look at some of the stuff that's going on in the world today, I can't handle it. But God can. God can. We have no reason to go outside and scream our heads off because the world's going nuts. It is. But God's got it. And I can walk out those doors and I can have joy. Because joy is not dependent on that. Happiness is. Joy is not. I can be content and satisfied like Paul was in Philippians. Jesus speaks of that precious love in John 3:16 and also in the 23rd verse of the chapter I just read. He says this in that verse right there. He says this, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. You see, I think joy is lost only when we lose sight of His love. That's when it gets lost. When we live for the moment, we lose sight. When trouble comes, we dwell in the moment, don't we? When trouble comes, that's what we're focused on, right? When trouble comes, it's that trouble that we're focused on. When we worry, we dwell in the moment. When we think on an earthly plane, we dwell in the moment. And when we live for the moment, we lose sight of the joy that's already there in Christ. You see, when we're thinking of the kingdom of God, we're living in the Spirit, and we're living by the Spirit. And if we're doing that, then we're fruit-bearing. If we're doing that, we're experiencing joy. If we're doing that, we're serving God's eternal purposes and not our temporal purposes here. We can live like Paul, who is content in plenty or in want, and he rejoiced. I don't want us this morning to settle for happiness, because happiness is short-lived. I want us to know the fruit of the Spirit, which is joy. It's eternal. It's permanent. And it comes to us when, as I said 2 weeks ago, we abide in Christ. Our nourishment's coming from Him. We aren't distracted by anything else. We aren't being choked out by another vine out there, whatever that distraction is. We're abiding in Christ. We're living in the Spirit. We're savoring the fruit of joy. And there's no one and there's nothing that can take it away from us. Unless we let it. I'm going to conclude with this. And I tried to look at the dictionary to find out if it could determine for me the difference between happiness and joy. Because there are a lot of words that were used by both definitions. But here's one I think that got it for me. Sit for joy. This is Webster's dictionary. It says, joy is a state or source of contentment, satisfaction. I like that because the source of contentment or satisfaction is Jesus Christ. Amen. Happiness, it said this. It's enjoying contentment, satisfaction. It's dependent on contentment and satisfaction. You see the difference there? There's a subtle difference between happiness and joy. Don't seek to be happy. Seek to have joy. And if you have joy, happiness will come. And when life takes the south turn, you may not have happiness, but you can still have joy. Isn't that awesome? I believe that's awesome. Let's pray. God, thank you for joy. The fruit of your Spirit, which is joy. And God, in every single believer in Jesus Christ who confesses you as Lord and Savior, joy is the fruit that is given to us. Help us not to be distracted because the joy is there. It may be hiding in the deep, dark corners of our heart because we've allowed it to be distracted from all the things that are going on in our life. But God, you gave us joy. And you told the disciples to make your joy complete in us. I pray for everyone here this morning that you will give them, reveal to them the joy that is already theirs in Jesus Christ. And help us to abide in you, reading your word, daily praying, fellowshipping with other Christians, feeding our soul, so that joy unspeakable is always there. Never leaves us. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.